This is the Angles of Latitude podcast, session number 7. Today's guest is Ryan Roten of ryanroten.com.
This is squadron leader confirming hostiles inbound. Prepare for battle.
What you're about to hear is the integration of life.
Clarity is power.
If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right.
Liberty.
We choose to go to the moon.
It's happening.
And all things equal.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know how to answer that.
You got a badass over here.
Welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast, everybody. This is the show where we help fellow millennials find their true groove in life by doing work that matters not only to them, but possibly the rest of the world. Every Thursday, we publish another conversation about the art and science of truly living a life of passion and how you, too, can do the work you're meant to do. This session's hosts are John Ridge, Brian Whitaker, and myself, JC Preston. We're part of the crew that runs New Inceptions, a site dedicated to helping people find their ideal career and, more importantly, giving those people the resources and community to help them get there. I hope you're having a productive week. I wanted to first let you all know that the quality of Session 6 is slowly improving. I'm still trying to figure out Logic Pro and all of its plugins, and to be honest, Joe's voice kind of the bass in it just kind of unbalanced some things. So hopefully I have that ironed out now and you can actually listen to it without grimacing too much. This week particularly is the week before Halloween, and I have to say it's always been one of my favorite holidays. I think that's just because I'm an October baby, and as I was growing up, Halloween was, you know, the nearest holiday, and I felt that people were celebrating my birthday twice. So yeah, fun times. And if you're going out, I just want you to be safe. So, all right. Just wanted to also put in a plug real quick about the growing New Inceptions Masterminder group. We just crossed over the 100-person mark not too long ago this past week. If you feel that you're truly dedicated to make yourself a better person or learn how you can move up in your career and doing something you love, feel free to join us. You can do that by searching for New Inceptions Masterminder on Facebook or by going to newinceptions.com/FB Masterminder, FB for Facebook. In this episode, we're talking personal branding with Ryan Roten. You might wonder why, personal branding, isn't that just for business owners? The thing is, no, not in today's day and age. Recruiters often spend more time looking up who you are on social media way before you ever go in for an interview. So what does your social media say about you? What have you done that might affect your next promotion or your new job? You should probably Google that and find out. Some of the topics that we discuss with Ryan include common practices of recruiters and using social media to find talent for an open position, some common mistakes people make when developing their personal brand, and why it's important to do things out of your comfort zone on a regular basis. You know, remember, this podcast is for you guys. If you have a question, topic, or can think of someone that would be a good fit for the show, let us know. You can send us an email about it via heyguys@newinceptions.com. There's always a chance that we'll talk about it on the next episode, next show. So enjoy, and for the show notes, you can go to newinceptions.com/session7. And of course, I'll be back after the conversation to fill in anything we might have missed. All right. Hey, everyone, and welcome again to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Today with us is a great friend of the show, Ryan Roten.
Hey, JC, how you doing?
How you doing today, man?
Fantastic.
Cool. So until 3 years ago, Ryan, he was a normal guy in Indy, doing the daily 9-to-5 grind And funny enough, a little bit of a background story involves himself searching on Google and finding out that he was a drug dealer, which was obviously a little bit news to him. And what he ended up finding out was that he had a alter ego, and he wanted to try to cover up that that bad Ryan. So he was able to do that successfully. Took him a little bit of time, which we'll get into more coming into the conversation here. But now he teaches Gen Xers to how to build their brands and grow their reputations, which obviously has a positive impact on their careers. So with how you doing today, Ryan?
Fantastic. You?
Yeah, great. Can't complain. I mean, we got a nice little balmy Midwest day today, but
yeah, that we do.
Yeah. But you can definitely tell that fall is setting in, and you know, last night was the first game of the season for the NFL, and I stayed up like a moron watching two teams I don't necessarily care about, but it was like, yay, football again. So yeah, it's just, you know, me being a football person is like, yeah, my season's back. So anyway, I was just talking about that story of yours, about how you got started on online business, and you want to kind of go into a little bit more detail of how that all worked out?
Yeah, sure. So I had what Donald Miller refers to in his book, A Million Miles in a Thousand Years, an inciting incident, which basically means is, you know, you're going through life and then something happens to you and it makes you kind of stop and you go, okay, wait a minute. And you start to kind of question everything and it forces you into a different direction. Well, let me rephrase. It can force you in a different direction if you choose to go down the path. And so what had happened to me was I had been preparing in my career for what I thought was the next level up. And I'd spent the previous 5 years getting ready for that. And long story short, I ended up not getting that job. And as a result of that, that was my inciting incident. I started to really question myself, who I was, what I was about. And I had, you know, I'd been a podcast listener back then anyway. And so I happened to be listening to a podcast during my hour-long commute to work. Mm-hmm. And it just happened that there was a lady who was on the podcast who was talking about personal branding that I had never heard about before, but I felt, I mean, the hairs on my hands started standing up and I felt like she was talking directly to me. Right. Because I'm sitting here searching what's wrong with me. Why didn't I get this promotion? And then I've got this podcast talking directly to me saying, you know, you need to understand and uncover your personal brand. And so 2 days later, I ended up hiring her and she walked me through her personal branding course, mm-hmm. Kind of like her training, and led me to discover what my personal brand was. And as a part of that training, one of the things that she asked me to do right at the very beginning was to type my name into Google and see what comes up.
Oh,
and that's when I was surprised to learn that I am one of four Ryan Rotens in the United States.
Okay.
And one of the four who happened to be on the first page of Google four, maybe five times, is the drug dealer that you spoke of earlier. Mm-hmm. And me, this Ryan Roten, who I wanted to be found on Google, did not show up until page three.
Wow.
And so I knew at that point in time, I had to do something. And so I kind of got started in the whole, you know, online personal branding space. And really my initial goal, the only thing I wanted to achieve, was to displace this guy and push him away from page one. And that's what got me started down the whole path. And then as I'm doing it, I learned, you know, you learn a whole bunch of stuff along the way. And now I'm in a position where I can actually help other people, you know, do the exact same thing.
Okay. Did you end up doing a lot of that stuff through like SEO work or like generally speaking? Or
no, I've spent very little time with SEO outside of plugins that I put into my WordPress site.
Really? Okay.
And then I do have some keywords, you know, that I focus on that I want to be found for. And so I make sure that my posts or any content that I create, it's all geared towards or circles around those keywords in one form or fashion.
Gotcha. Okay. So kind of yes and no, but for the most part, it's just you just creating content relevant to who you are.
Yeah, correct. But like I said, the only conscious SEO stuff I did was through a plugin or just trying to use keywords.
Okay. Cool. So right now you got a ton of stuff going on everywhere. And, you know, you were really busy the past couple of months. Took a while to get you on the show, but that involves your day job.
Yeah, mostly day job related.
Yeah, we know how that is. But you also find time for a podcast these days. So tell us about your podcast and who you should be. Who would you think would be your ideal audience?
So the podcast is called The Brand New You Show, and it's about personal branding and how you can use and leverage your personal brand online. That it's also about creating a brand new you and taking yourself in a different direction. Because what I find is there's a lot of Gen Xers, and that's my main target audience, is people who are in my age group. We've grown up together. I speak their language. I know the struggles and things that they go through with children, with work, you know, in their career in general. Mm-hmm. And so there's a big focus on talking to people who have personal branding experience and how we can build and leverage your brand. But I also spend a lot more time too, especially recently, focusing on helping people understand the things that they need to do internally to create kind of a brand new person for themselves.
Okay. So generally that sounds like with that kind of experience going on, I mean, it sounds like you're building up a little bit of a solopreneur sort of business. Would you call yourself that yet? Or are you still a consultant, or where do you find yourself at?
Well, it's a good question, because, you know, I talk to entrepreneurs who are real entrepreneurs, and they don't even like to call themselves that. you know, so yes, I make a little bit of money on the side. I do coaching. If you were going to put a label on me, I would probably say solopreneur, okay. But I'm not at a point yet where I would, you know, be willing to make the leap and go be a full-time entrepreneur at this point.
Gotcha.
But it's starting. I can see that, you know, the train is moving and the seeds are planted firmly in my brain, and they are starting to grow. And that's part of my transition too, has been going from thinking of myself as an employee to trying to picture myself as an entrepreneur.
Gotcha.
And that's a big mind shift.
And that involves going to conventions. That you were, the first time we actually met, you were talking about how you had gone to a lot of conventions and different speaking engagements, and how you've been networking with the larger names out there. I mean, you want to kind of expand on that a little bit, and how, you know, until you go, I think, was it you that had said, until you start going to these events where other people are, and even local ones, that you don't actually fit in with the group yet? Or,
well, so my learning has consists of multiple things: online reading, reading books offline, but probably the biggest bang for my buck, if you will, in, you know, getting to where I'm at now has been through attending conferences.
Conferences, right? Okay.
Because, you know, you see all that, you see and you read about all these big famous people, especially on the internet marketing space, and so you get this impression that they're going to be you can't approach them. Mm-hmm. And what you find is when you go to these conferences, they're probably some of the most approachable people you'll ever meet. Friendly, helpful. And one of the big things that I think that I've seen in just the whole internet marketing space that really challenges my mindset and the status quo for me when it comes to a career is that in corporations, you're typically looking at everybody, all your peers, as competitors. Mm-hmm. And you're tempted to not give them information that you have, because they may use it or leverage it,
right,
so that they can get a promotion that you won't get. So you have a very, very much a scarcity mindset is prevalent throughout corporations. And that's sad. And I think that's a big reason why big corporations especially struggle today, is because they've created this competitive scarcity mindset within the company, which doesn't allow it to, you know, all the employees to fully blossom and become, you know, who they really are internally.
Right.
And then on the other hand, you have internet marketing, where everybody that I have met or talked to has an abundance mindset, and they are extremely willing to help you in whatever you need done. Mm-hmm. Even if you are in the exact same space and you sell to the same customers, everybody in the internet marketing space knows that I have a personality that's going to appeal to certain people. And someone else, maybe, you know, in a corporate world, they would look at me as a competitor, but in the internet space, they look at me as just a peer. Mm-hmm. And they say, you know what, you go ahead, I'll help you, you help me, because we're both going to appeal to two different types of people. And those things you learn and pick up on when you go out and you attend conferences or meetups face to face, and you start to actually talk to some of these people that, you know, at first you kind of thought were miles away and unapproachable, and they very quickly help you understand that that's not the case.
Right. I know, kind of going into that, I mean, a lot of these events that you go to, I mean, you would have, you'll have one expert, quote unquote, that I call them, and then they invite all these other ones, which, you know, in the corporate world, they would be all competitors, right? But this event wouldn't be able to happen unless they, everybody saw that abundance, that's, has that potential to get to that point. So, oh yeah, no, it's definitely different, and you can, it's really strange to run into people anymore that are out there that are like, yeah, I don't want to spill the gravy or spill the secret sauce. And it's just like, okay, well, good luck with that.
Yeah. And you know, sadly, those people are approaching life with a non-abundance mindset, and, you know, they're not going to be able to reap as much as they could. Mm-hmm. You know, and one thing I want to mention, you said the word experts, and there's a lot of, you know, I struggle with this too, but there's a lot of people who are afraid of that word or don't like to hear that word. Mm-hmm. But an expert, we are all, every one of us are experts at something. Mm-hmm. And all that simply means is that you know more than someone else.
Right.
And if you think about that in your life, you know, say, you know, we see bees flying around. If you know a friend or a neighbor down the street who happens to be a beekeeper, mm-hmm. he's now an expert on bees in your mind because he knows more than you do.
Right.
Right. Right. And so experts are typically people who are one, two, maybe three steps ahead of where you are right now. And they're people that can help you get to where they are. And if you really stop and think about it, and you look at your life and the things that you do or what you specialize in, you are an expert in something.
Right.
It's just personally dependent upon what that is. And I use the beekeeper, for example, because I actually know someone who's a neighbor who's a beekeeper. And I go to him for any question that I have about bees.
Huh. I like
and
that.
And that's what he's my expert. He's my go-to guy for bees. Cool. And you are that way to someone else.
Exactly. Well, and I think people need to take some time to realize, I think that's the hardest thing, is trying to figure out exactly what it is that they're an expert on. And
here's a tip, but listen. And that's the tip, is to listen. Mm-hmm. When people talk to you through the week, listen to what they're asking you about. Listen to the questions that they ask you. Do they come to you for the same things over and over and over? If so, that person or those people see you as an expert in whatever that topic is. Pay attention to your friends and your family. What do they ask you about? When they have questions about something, what do they come to you about before they go to anybody else? Whatever that topic is or that niche, that's what they see you as an expert at.
I like that. Yeah, I think I've heard that before, but I like how you put it there. That's pretty good.
It's a starting point. You know, what you're known as an expert for now doesn't have to be what you're known for 3 years from now, right? You can change it and you can evolve it as you learn and you move forward. But the key to all of it is, especially in the online space, you have to get started doing something.
So Ryan, you mentioned something that just a minute ago that was really interesting to me, the abundance mindset versus the scarcity mindset. And, so like in the corporate world, you said there's more scarcity mindset and more abundance mindset in the internet marketing or kind of online world.
Mm-hmm. That's right? Been my experience.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of experienced the same thing too. But for you, you work at a day job right now. Is that, and you also have this kind of personal branding where you help Gen Xers. So what's it like, I mean, for you to work at a day job compared to working as an entrepreneur?
I still like my day job. You know, I do the work during the daytime hours because I enjoy what I'm doing. I do the stuff on the side because I see a benefit to people, and I mean, I'll use this word loosely, but humanity as a whole. You know, what I do in my day job, I enjoy that work. I'm good at that work, but it doesn't necessarily fulfill me or give me a sense of purpose. the stuff that I do on the side does make me, does fulfill me, and it does give me a sense of purpose, and it gives, it makes me believe that, you know, now I know why I'm here. I'm here to help other people not experience what I had to go through when I didn't get the promotion that I was looking for, only to find out that, you know, there's another Ryan Roten out there who happens to be a drug dealer. And I don't want people to have to go through that same thing, because more and more today, and there's actually a study that came out last year that said 93% of recruiters, for example, now will go and look, search you for you online before they will ever call you. Wow. And so if your online profile is as bad as mine was 3 years ago, I am not going to get opportunities. They are going, I'm going to get completely passed over. They're not even going to know I exist. And Gen Xers are a group that, frankly, as a whole, we're really, we suck at social media. We're just terrible at it because it's new to us. You know, I belong in an age group where the majority of us didn't even have email when we went to college. If we wanted to use a computer, we had to rent space at a computer lab on campus, and you got stuck with whatever time was available. And if that meant 3 a.m, that's when you were going to use the computer lab. Oh, we didn't have any of these tools that are so prevalent and readily available now. And so it's like, you know, everybody's like drinking from the fire hose, all these Gen Xers with all these social media tools. And so they get online, they fill out these profiles, they play with it a little bit, they post pictures of their food or their puppy dogs, and they don't think, or their cats, I guess cats are big on the internet now, but they don't think about the ramifications of what they're doing, and they don't use any of that stuff strategically to enhance their brand, to enhance their knowledge, you know, to make people understand and know what their subject matter experts at. So that if I'm a recruiter and I'm typing a keyword, for example, whatever it might be, lean manufacturing, boom, you want your name to come up now. You want your name to be on that first page of Google somewhere so that you're recognized as a potential expert at a keyword. Or if you just want to keep it generic, like when I got started, you want your name to come up. You want your name to be the keyword. When somebody types it in, you want to be the person who's number one on Google so that they can find and learn all about you. Because it's critically important in our careers now, and it's only going to become more so over the coming years, that we are able to look good online even while we sleep.
You might not have a business online, but you need to still look good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, there's a difference, right? I want to do a business online, and then there's the, I just need to make sure that my online profile is, I'm being strategic about it, so that I'm being found when people want to look for
me. Right. Yeah, you mentioned that, that's a good point, JC, because Ryan, you mentioned that this problem, having a bad online reputation, it wasn't necessarily your reputation that was bad, but your name. And that was when you had a day, you know, when you were just on having a day job, you didn't have, you know, you're not trying to start an online business at that point. So.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right, right. Yeah, no, I did not start out with the intention of having an online business. I started out to make this other guy go to page two. And that's all, that's what got me started in the whole space. And then as I more got into it, I realized, you know what, I like making websites. I like doing this stuff. I started to read more, I started to research more, and then I realized, holy cow, you can make a business out of this. And then after I made my first dollar through an AdSense ad, I thought, okay, there's something to this, you know, and so I immediately started to look online and find out, okay, who can I learn from? And that's where I discovered guys like Pat Flynn and Chris Ducker, and all these other people that you hear about. As soon as you start to type in online marketing or passive income, you know, they come up, and this whole new world starts to open up to you. So my original intention was to just supplant this other guy, but it has evolved over time, over the last 3 years, to now, you know, I'm running a really small kind of online business.
Yeah, very cool. It sounds like it's been a progression for you from kind of discovery or that inciting event to discovering your passion, so to speak. So that's really
cool. Yeah, exactly. And none of it would have happened if I hadn't even typed my name into Google and hit search, but even more importantly, if I hadn't decided to do something about it.
Yeah.
Now, playing off that, through your line of work and your time hosting the Brand New You show, I'm sure that you've encountered a lot of different people. And me being a nuts and bolts guy, if you will, I'd like to know, what are some of the more common mistakes that people make when developing their personal brand, or what is it that, what traits are prevalent and that really affect people and hold them back from being all that they could be?
So the biggest mistake I see people make is they see personal brand, or they type in personal branding, and the first thing they think they need to do is go get an online presence. And that is a portion of it. That is not where you start. There is a thing called personal brand, and then there's another thing called personal branding. And to me, they are completely different and separate. And you cannot have one without the other. And everything starts with knowing and understanding your personal brand, which is basically taking a deep look at yourself, like probably you've never done before in your life, to understand who you are, what makes you tick, why you gravitate towards certain actions and activities, and understand really at your core why you do the things that you do. So for example, if you take, you can take a StrengthsFinder assessment, that's just one of many, but you start to learn things about yourself during those StrengthsFinders assessment. And one of the things that I learned at when I went through this personal branding, building my personal brand and taking some of these assessments to really do a good look at myself, is that the role that I happened to be in at my company at that time, I was miserable in, and I was completely not aligned with me as a person and what makes me tick. I was not doing the activities that fill me with energy. I was doing the activities that completely drained me of energy. And so therefore my performance suffered, and the people at work, they saw it, they noticed it, and they justly rewarded me, if you will, by not promoting me. And I didn't know that, nor would I have known that had I not taken this look at myself. And so I figured out what I'm good at and what I want to go do. And that helps me now use that same criteria to look at potential jobs to say, this either aligns with what I do or it does not. And it just happens that my personal brand is geared towards being a creator and an advisor, which plays very nicely into what I'm now trying to brand myself as a personal branding coach for people who are looking to improve their online reputation and understand what their personal brands are. So it just happens that my personal brand aligns with everything that I'm doing offline, which is what fills me with energy, because otherwise I would not be able to keep up with a full-time job and doing all this other stuff on the side. But I get just as excited to come home and start working on the side business as I do sometimes in the morning to get up and go to work.
Yeah, that's awesome, Ryan. I kind of get the sense that when you talk about personal branding, there's the online aspect of it that you noticed, and that's kind of how you stumbled into this, into this field. But I also kind of get the sense that there's like when you said the brand new you show, it's also like a personal brand of who you are, like and what your strength is, what you're an expert at. And so do you,
correct,
when you talk to people about their personal brand, I mean, do you address both, or do you sort of, like, what's your process? Like, how do you help someone figure out or improve their personal brand both online and off?
It depends on the client, the customer, to be honest with you. Some don't want to know about their personal brand, and they only want help with online. And then there are others who are struggling with work. They're frustrated with what they do for a living. They're starting to ask themselves questions like, is this what I'm supposed to do for the rest of my life? Those people, they're the ones who need to understand their personal brand the most. So I go through a series of questions with them. I can quickly evaluate where they need the most help. Sometimes they tell me, or at least they tell me where they think they need the most help. But it's for the people who are really struggling with the spot they find themselves in life. And especially if like Gen Xers find themselves, I've got 20 years of experience doing these things, and the whole job search industry, if you will, has completely changed in the last 5 or 6 years. And for Gen Xers who find themselves 20 years into a career who haven't applied for a job in, say, the last 7 or 8 years, they really get lost at that point where they don't know what they want to do next. And so for those people, they're the ones we need to start with your brand first. We have to understand what makes you tick. We got to figure out how we get you, who you are, aligned with what you do for a living. And then once we know that, then we can go quickly and work on the personal branding piece, which is getting your offline brand aligned with the persona that that people will see when they search for you online.
Cool. Going back, you know, Brian actually started asking about your podcast a little bit there. I don't think we've really talked about what you typically talk about on it. I mean, I know you have a whole bunch of different kind of guests on there, from ranging all across the board. So you want to kind of talk about what you...
Yeah, sure. So I interview career coaches, recruiters,
okay.
Personal branding experts, social media experts, all around the premise of whatever your expertise is, how can we use and leverage that expertise in a way that benefits us in our career? So I've had experts about Twitter on to teach people how they can use Twitter to find hiring managers, to start conversations, to build relationships, so that when you want to apply for a job at a specific company, you're now not just sending a resume into a blank hole. You're sending it to a person that you know that you've cultivated a relationship with. So you have a much better chance of your resume actually getting viewed by someone. I've talked to personal brand experts to talk about how do you stand out in your career. Dori Clark is one. She just released a book this year called Stand Out. Mm-hmm. And how do you find that breakthrough idea? How do you find and discover what you're an expert at? And so Dori and I spent a lot of time talking about that. I just interviewed a guy last week. He's all about networking and how to properly network in today's day and age. So that's going to be an exciting show when it releases. I've talked to recruiters to understand, you know, what are these changes in the job markets that you see now? What do you look for in candidates? And by the way, all of them have told me the first place they go to look for candidates is LinkedIn, and then they immediately go search for you on Google.
That's funny.
You know, so, and I've talked to career coaches, people who do nothing but help other, you know, who help people regardless of generation with their career search and their career, you know, prospects. And some of those have been some very great, I've had some just blunt and frank conversations with people about how the world has changed literally in the last 5 years and how it's so different now to look for a job and to get a job than it was 10 years ago.
Well, that gives me two follow-ups, actually. You know, for me, you kind of stroke on the expert part again there. Mm-hmm. I mean, talking on the mic, was that, you know, doing a podcast, was that always something that you were looking to do? I mean, how did you?
No, absolutely not. No, so truth be told, I was in two masterminds, mm-hmm. with, you know, and everybody that was in the mastermind groups with me, they all had podcasts. So they were pushing me to start a podcast. And I kept saying, I don't know what I want to do a podcast about. Why would I do a podcast? And it just happens, one of the guys in my mastermind group, his name is Jared Easley, and he's a co-founder of the Podcast Movement Conference. Mm-hmm. It was the second annual one was just held this past.
And the next one's going to be in Chicago.
Yeah, next year is in Chicago. And I think it's early July. Is when they're going to have it right around July 4th. But I knew Jared. Jared did a Kickstarter project that, you know, to get Podcast Movement off the ground. It found feet. And so I went to the first Podcast Movement conference to support Jared, not having a podcast or a clue what my podcast would be about. But after you spend 3 days with like-minded people who see potential in you, who encourage you, who give you ideas and give you tips and tell you, if you need help, you call me. Here's my cell phone. Mm-hmm. It just makes you go, okay, maybe I can do this. And so I went from answering, you know, looking at people with a blank stare when they asked me what my podcast was about, to being able to tell them at the end, well, it's going to be about personal branding and how you can use that and social media online to impact your career.
Okay.
And then I also had one guy at the conference, and this was 2 years ago now, who said, I want you to have this on Saturday night. He said, you will have a show zero recorded by Thursday the following week, and I will call you on Thursday to listen to it with you. You know, and
no pressure.
But it's encouragement like that, right? You know, that force, those are inciting incidents, and you have a choice in that moment in your life to go do what's uncomfortable or to just maintain where you're at. Mm-hmm. And I've always found if you go do what's uncomfortable, you will become a better person for it, and something good will happen as a result. And so I had episode zero recorded the following Thursday. I did not launch until January this year because I spent the next 3 or 4 months getting interviews and kind of really getting used to being behind the microphone, because it's not a natural thing to do. Mm-hmm. But I spent 3 or 4 months getting interviews queued up so that I would have 5 to release on day one. And then I've just been driving hard ever since.
Hmm. Cool.
And so now I come out with the interview a week every Thursday. I release every Thursday morning, 5 a.m. I've only had 2 solo episodes at this point. And I will use those kind of as if I learn something I think the audience might want to know as, you know, in between interviews. But right now I've worked myself. So I do an interview on a weekend or a weeknight, and I would have to edit it, have it all up and ready to go, the next week.
Right.
Worst case, I did an interview on a Monday night and had to post it Thursday night.
that's not good.
You talk about stress. I mean, but you have to do this when you get started. You have to do it.
Right.
And now I'm at a point where I can't stop. I can't stop the podcast because I get emails, I get tweets, I get encouragement from people who listen, who say, thank you for putting that out. You're helping me. And So that just encourages me to continue to go. And fortunately now I've built myself up to, I'm good all the way through the next 6 shows. Mm-hmm. And so I actually have stopped taking interview requests for this month because I don't like to interview somebody and tell them, yeah, you'll be out 8 weeks from now.
Right. That's
There needs to be a decent amount of, there's going to be an amount of time, but it needs to be, not 8 weeks before. So this month I'm not doing any interviews, but starting in October again, I'll be ready to take off and start doing more interviews.
And get ready for the downloads and the winter.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's a lot more time consuming and requires a lot more dedication than what I ever would have thought. But I love it. I love doing the research on the guests. Any guest I have on, I've already done probably up to 2 hours of research, and I have anywhere from 20 to 50 questions prepared in advance. Mm-hmm. And then, what editing's like. Editing's anywhere from an hour to 3 hours, depending upon how much you want to do and how good Skype happens to cooperate with you.
Yeah, no, another thing that you had mentioned this is the second follow-up. You had mentioned that recruiters tend to search LinkedIn and then they go to Google.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when there's actually nothing online? Because I actually have recently Googled some friends of mine and it would go to maybe a Facebook page, but the Facebook would be like, blank. Like you couldn't see their feed or anything.
Yeah, nothing. They get skipped over. They're moving on. Recruiters are moving on to whoever's next on the list.
Really? So it's that, wow.
They don't wait. I mean, you got to think about it. For every position that gets posted, I think I read something earlier this year, there's something like 275 resumes that get sent in for every position that gets posted in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have a lot of time to review these when they come up. I mean, one of the Don Orlando, a guy I interviewed and posted his show it's probably a month ago now. He says he'll scan your LinkedIn profile and he takes anywhere from 10, no more than 20 seconds. And he can quickly determine if you're somebody he wants to talk to, or if not, he moves on. And if they're looking for you online and they're not finding you, well, you're missing out. And the sad part is you don't even know it. There could be a position that you are absolutely 100% made to do. And if somebody can't find you online, you're going to get passed over.
Now, what is it that employers are looking for specifically? I mean, do they have a list of or a preset criteria that they judge by, or is it just overall appearance?
It depends. Employers are looking for specific skill sets, so they're going to try to find that on LinkedIn. When they look for you online, they're looking for a few things. One, they're making sure that your online profile matches what you say on LinkedIn. Don Orlando will tell you that he has found people who have a great looking LinkedIn profile, but when he finds them online, completely opposite person, completely different person. But he knows it's the same person because it's the same picture. Right. So, and those people in his mind, they throw him out. He doesn't pursue him anymore. He's done. Employers are looking for, does what you do and say online match your resume that you gave me or match the LinkedIn that you gave me? But they're also paying attention to what you post. You know, are you posting things about the industry that you're in? Would you be someone they would consider an expert in an industry? Because if you are, your resume automatically gets moved up. If you're posting about your industry and you're putting thoughts about your industry out there that people say, look at you and go, wow, this guy knows what he's talking about, you're going to get moved up. But if you're posting pictures of hot dogs and kittens and the drinking party that you were at last week on Facebook, which frankly, you know, a lot of Gen Xers get on Facebook and they use it as an excuse to not go see a good psychologist, that stuff will hurt you. It will not do you any favors. I mean, it's funny you say that. I'm sitting here. I have a sheet in front of me that I got from the .me registry. They've done a survey, and the title of it is "How Online Content Can Help or Hurt Your Job Search." Okay, so common candidate mistakes. I'll read you a few here. 71%, and this is something that's going to eliminate a candidate from complete consideration. 71%, if there's any kind of risque photographs, which you think are common sense, but people post it all the time. If you have any kind of negative context about work in general, you know, you put out a tweet, I don't like my job or my job sucks, they're going to find it. Any kind of negative comments you have about current or former employers, if you use inappropriate language or you cuss, whether in Facebook, whether in Twitter, it doesn't matter. If they find it, it turns people off and they're going to immediately throw you out. If you have any pictures of you partying or consuming alcohol. And then the last one here is any controversial political or social opinions. Mm. And I see that all the time, especially now. It's going to go crazy and people are going to hurt themselves when it comes to their career if they start posting their opinions about politics. You're not supposed to judge people on that, but when you put it out there online and somebody reads it, you'll never know that you were judged for it anyway.
Absolutely.
So the best bet is to just not post it. Keep your political opinions to yourself and your circle of friends when you're sitting around having a cold beverage on the weekend. Don't put it out on social media because once it's there forever. Even if you delete it, it's still there. And people don't realize that.
Hey, Ryan, when you just said that, like, I'm sure that other people listening will have this reaction too, but I like, was like, oh, you know, can I get that like chill down my spine? Like, oh, Facebook. Yeah. So how could someone like make a quick fix to kind of protect themselves until they can, you know, take a more proactive approach?
First thing. Yeah. First step, go through all your social media accounts and look at them like someone else would look at them, not how you view them, and ask yourself, would this be offensive to someone? Or be more specific. Would this be offensive to a future employer? Or could they construe it as offensive? And if your answer is yes, take it down. Take it down. Doesn't matter if it has 450 million likes and it boosts your clout score because of it, take it down because it might hurt you in the long run. Mm. The next thing I would do is if you find, go search for yourself on Google. I mean, this is an interesting thing to do. I'd recommend anybody do this. Go search for yourself on Google, print out everything on the top. Just go to each site and print out every one of the top 10 results. Put all those sheets of paper together and see what kind of story it tells about you. And if it's not the story you want told, then you got some work to do.
Yeah.
And if you find things that other people have posted about you, so for example, you get tagged in a photo on Facebook, that'll show up, or at least, you know, they'll be able to find it. If you don't like it or it doesn't meet that criteria, go ask that person to either untag you or take the picture down. And then worst case, I mean, you can go directly to Google and request that they have a page taken down if you can't get like the site owner to take it down for you.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's absolute worst case. And I've not run into anybody that's had that kind of issue before.
Yeah.
And you can't actually get a hold of Google. I've done it before in regards to an account. So it is possible.
It is probably not easy, but it's possible. I would try everything else first. I'd also highly recommend everybody read the book called The Reputation Economy. I just finished it the other day, and it is absolutely fascinating. And another thing I'll recommend everybody go check out, you can do this, you can Google this, is called Crystal Knows. And it's Crystal, C-R-Y-S-T-A-L, Knows. And that is, I interviewed the founder, the creator of this, it's a software program. His name is Drew D'Agostino. You can listen to my podcast episode with him. But Crystal acts like Google. When you type in someone's name, it goes out. It curates all the information it can find about that person's name. It then takes all that data and it runs it through their software algorithm and it spits out a personality profile. And so your personality profile in the future and even right now can be found online, and they can aggregate all the data about you online and they can create a profile that says, here is who this person is. And I've already noted, and originally it was set up to be just a Google, so you know how to, or a Gmail, so you know how to type emails to people. But I've already noticed that the button for Crystal is starting to show up on LinkedIn profiles and Twitter profiles. So if you want to know more about somebody, you can click the Crystal button and it'll go and it'll pull up a personality profile based on that person, based on what it finds about that person online.
Yeah.
Now it assigns a percentage and says, hey, this is, you know, 50% accurate, or in my case, it's 95% accurate because I'm very active online. But that's just, to me, that's the beginning of what big data is going to do. And the book, The Reputation Economy, talks about how what we post online is going to eventually get used. They're going to create scores for people. And you're going to be ranked and stacked against scores for people for all kinds of different things. I mean, it already happens today, but it's going to become a lot more prolific. You know, think about what clout is doing. Mm-hmm. And think about your clout score. And if you needed a clout score of a certain level in order to even be considered a candidate, instead of having a GPA level, right? I mean, these are the types of things that people really need to start thinking about. And when you boil it all back down, it comes back to, what do people find about you online when they search for you?
You want to talk about a clout score real quick? Yeah, I don't think we didn't actually define that real quick.
Okay, so Clout is a company that does the same, kind of the same thing as Crystal. It goes out and it aggregates. Well, it could be aggravating, I guess. It aggregates data and it assigns you a score between 0 and 100 to say how much clout or influence you have. And the average clout score is like 40. And so once you start to go above that, you become recognized as an expert on specific keywords or niches.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, clout even has gone so far now that they have deals with companies where certain people who've built their clout scored up to a certain level, those companies will start to give those people perks. And I've even read cases where some people who have clout scores in the 80s, when they check into hotels are now actually searching for their clout score because they know if that person tweets out something bad about that hotel, it will go to hundreds of thousands of people. And so they do everything they can to make sure that that person with that high clout score has a very good experience while they're at that hotel. And that's all part of this reputation economy that we live in today, but it's just not as visible as it's going to become in the next 5 years.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. I'd heard of clout a few years ago, but
clout, it's K-L-O-U-T, by the way.
K-L-O-U-T.
So that's really bizarre to me. Sorry. Just to reflect that. Like, you could go to a hotel and someone at the hotel might search your online reputation and then give you better service if you have a really strong online reputation.
Yeah, or they may upgrade your hotel room. You know, you may go, well, you know, we're going to move you to the presidential suite. And you don't know that they did that. You don't know that they've searched for you and discovered that you have a high clout score. And I'm not saying this is in every single hotel. There are a few that do it, and it's more the exception now than it is the norm. But just think about the ramifications of it down the road. You know, you could walk in and all of a sudden, boom, you're upgraded to a presidential suite, and now your experience is that much better. And people are going to take pictures of their room. They're going to go, look what just happened. I just got upgraded. This place is awesome. And they're tweeting it out to their thousands of people or posting it on Instagram to their thousands of people. And they are helping. They're kind of, in a sense, being a brand ambassador for that brand in a very good way. And it didn't really cost the brand that much, especially if nobody was renting out the presidential suite that night.
So that's crazy. forget being a member of the Masonic Lodge. You gotta have a clout score now.
but don't do yourself a favor. Don't go out and try to, you know, make actions to make your clout score go up. That's not how it works. You know, you've got to be active online. You have to be adding value online, and you have to do it over a very long period of time. Huh. It is not something you can just like in a month have a clout score that everybody's like, ooh, look at that big clout score. And like I said, it's not prevalent yet, but it's coming. Mm-hmm. And I think eventually clout will either be, I mean, they've already been bought out by another company, but I think they'll either figure out a way to grow and tie into some of these other algorithms that are out there, or they're going to be supplanted by someone else who comes up with the next big metric for you as a person. I mean, think about what the benefit of that is to a company that sells products. Mm-hmm. To know that if there's a good experience that takes place, that they're gonna, you know, you're gonna automatically want to advertise for them.
Okay, so kind of getting close to having to wrap this thing up. I guess we have a few ending questions that always try to ask, and I'm going to ask you a couple of them.
Okay.
So. What are three things that you'd want people to remember you by? If everything that, well, we can further this, if everything that was online vanished, what were three things that you'd want people to remember you by?
Sorry, I heard the last part. I cut out. I was trying to talk to you.
Okay.
So what do I want people to remember me by?
Yeah.
Is that the question?
Yeah.
You mean when I die or after this podcast airs?
after, well, that's what I was trying to actually clarify it.
I more than anything else, I want to be known as someone who helped add value to the world.
Okay.
Right. I don't want to be someone who went through the world, went through my life, you know, mattered to a few people, and that was it. I want to be someone who leaves a mark and makes an impact. And I want to do that by adding value to other people's lives. And my small contribution, the way I do that now, is I help people hopefully realize the importance of understanding what their personal brand is and knowing how to use it and leverage it online in a way that positively impacts them and their career. Because if they can impact their career, that means in theory they're getting paid more money, which means they can impact their family, and eventually they can begin to impact more and more people.
Then all three.
No, there's probably three wrapped up in there.
Okay, we'll take that. And how would you define greatness?
I think greatness is defined by each and every person individually, and it depends on your personal circumstances for what you think is greatness. For me, if I want to, you know, I want to be, maybe this is getting back to your three, but for me, I would consider myself quote unquote great if 20 years from now, my children look back at me and can see that I made a difference, not only in their lives, and they're thankful for it, but in the lives of other people, and that I'm setting a good example for them now and showing them the benefit of work and effort, and that it does pay off in the long run.
Cool.
And if I can achieve that with my children, then I personally will feel that I've achieved greatness.
Awesome. Awesome. So, Ryan, where can people find you if they're going to be looking for you?
Type my name into Google and you'll find it. All over page one now, right? But I am one thing I am very big about, especially when we start talking about online and personal branding, make sure you use a consistent name for yourself over and over and over everywhere you go. Social media, doesn't matter. Whatever it is, make sure it's the same name, right? So JC, you can be JC Preston. You can be JPC, right? You could be all, any one of these number of things, but pick one and stick with it. So for me, I'm Ryan Roten. If you want to reach me on Twitter, I'm at Ryan Roten. You want to find me on the web, I'm ryanroten.com. The only place I'm not the same, but it's my podcast, is The Brand New You Show. Mm-hmm. Twitter, or I'm sorry, Instagram, Ryan Roten. Everywhere I could get Ryan Roten, I got it. And I recommend people do that too. And if they're out and they find that their name is already taken, use a variation of your name. Right? Use, add a middle initial. You'd be surprised at how easy it is just to stick a middle initial in. And boom, you can, you know, you can get your domain, for example. That's how I started. I didn't, RyanRoten.com wasn't actually available when I got started, but my Ryan L. Roten was. Mm-hmm. So I used that. And then a year later, Ryan Roten became available. I bought it. And now everything is Ryan Roten.
Or you could put the in front of it. The
you could Ryan. Do that too. Yeah, you could do that too. But it's still, but you still have your name in there. And that's
right,
what's important.
Right. Okay. So Ryan, thanks again for you coming on today and sharing with us a little bit of your background and how you got to where you are today, and definitely appreciate you the insights that you were able to give the audience. So,
no problem, JC. Thanks for having me on. It was my pleasure.
Hey, thanks again.
Thanks, Ryan.
All right.
Yep, no problem.
And that's it, folks. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Ryan. Hopefully you learned some very valuable insights on what you can do to make yourself look good on the web. You know, have you Googled yourself recently? Get on it if you haven't. Yeah, really. Again, you can find him at ryanroten.com. That's spelled R-Y-A-N, Ryan. And then his last name is Roten, R-H-O-T-E-N.com. And check out his podcast, both of which will be in the show notes. You can go to at newinceptions.com/session7. In this session's show notes extra section, you'll find a checklist that will help you bring your online presence on LinkedIn where it should be. Also, if your Google search gave you something that you don't like, I'd definitely check this next resource out. It's a 14-point checklist courtesy of Kissmetrics that will help you dominate your personal brand on Google. So again, thank you for listening. If you'd like to subscribe for free, make sure you get all of your new shows sent directly to your listening device. You can do so in iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. Further instructions on how to do that are in the show notes. I want to give some props to those that help make this show possible. Fizzle.co is where I go for help in building new inceptions. If you want to build an online business, you'll probably want to go there too, to be honest. You know, it's great that people all around the net have great tips and tactics and how to do certain things on your website. However, unless you're really good at sorting that information out, it's going to be all over the place. Hopefully, you're really good at Evernote. If you're not, like me, then Fizzle does that work for you. They start with a roadmap of all the steps you need to take to get from conception of your business to replacing your job. On top of that, they have a 40-plus video courses, a great community, a great forum, and even office hours. So if you want to talk directly to the source, then that's available too. Usually this all costs $35 a month, but if you go to newinceptions.com/fizzle, you'll be able to get the first month for free. And speaking of free, even if you don't become a member right away, you can always listen to their podcast, The Fizzle Show, which is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. So go give Fizzle a go. I also want to give thanks to the host of New Inceptions, HostGator.com. Another resource for your future site is HostGator. Whether or not you start a business is up to you. However, as Ryan was talking about in the show, you want to be in control of your online personal brand. So what's better than hosting your own site, right? Personally, I recommend HostGator because of two things. One is all the stuff I get for less than $10 a month, which includes unlimited traffic bandwidth, unlimited email accounts, unlimited domains and subdomains. I mean, it's all there. The other thing is that their customer service is top notch. They're 24/7 online chat or on the phone. You just can't say enough about that. And not all hosts offer that. So in fact, if you go to newinceptions.com/hostgator, you'll receive at least 20% off of their monthly rate, which at the time of this recording was just under $6 a month. So that's it. Thank you guys so much for checking in today. We really appreciate it. We hope you get a lot of value out of what Ryan had to say. And next week's episode, we're going to bring your another guest, Cam Adair. Cam is all about helping gamers get off the couch and into the real world. Why? Because he was an addict himself and didn't do him any favors in life. So now with his new project, he's helping other gamers get control of their lives and go explore the rest of the real world instead of just their living room. So in the meantime, head on over to New Inception's blog. Let us know what you think about Ryan's chat by going to the show notes again at newinceptions.com/session7. And until then, thank you guys, and we'll see you in the next episode with Cam. See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Connect with us at home, at work, or on the go at facebook.com/newinceptions, on Twitter @newinceptions, or on the web at newinceptions.com.